Today I'd like to talk to you about John Wall, point guard for the Washington Wizards. And he was born September 6, 1990 in Raleigh, North Carolina. 6'4", 210 pounds, Garner Magnet High School, and then moved to Word of God in Raleigh, North Carolina. Then ultimately played his college ball for 1 year with the Kentucky Wildcats, and then was drafted in the 2010 draft, first round pick, first pick overall, selected by the Washington Wizards. Rough background, 8 years old, his father's released from prison, died of liver cancer a month later. And so this childhood of Wall was nothing easy, but he's made something of himself, a four-time NBA All-Star, NBA All-Defensive Second Team, NBA All-Rookie First Team, Rookie Challenge MVP, just an amazing player, Adolph Rupp Trophy, Consensus First Team All-American, SEC Player of the Year, just fantastic, man. The abilities that he has on his team are fantastic. And I thoroughly enjoy watching him, especially his drives to the basket and finding a way to knife in there and make layups and dunks and just all around a great athlete. So when I think of him, I think of somebody that is also incredibly fast. But today, as I talk to you, I want to talk to what we do with these times in podcasts. We talk about the person, and then whatever comes to mind as we think of them. And the thing that comes to mind for me is his speed, but I like to play off that word, his last name, Wall, for a moment. When I think of the whole idea of a wall, it's a separation. It's a used for protection. When you think of ancient cities back in the day, I know that lately we've been hearing a lot about a wall being built between the United States and Mexico. Who's going to pay for it? All those different things. But the reason that is even thought about is because people are getting into this country illegally through the system that we have already, because there's nothing to stop them. There's laws that have been set up, but a lot of times those laws aren't being put into place. So as a result, that's what goes on. But put politics aside, when you think about a wall, it can be a bad thing. It can be something that can be looked at as I'm keeping distance from somebody. I'm trying to keep away from them. When a fence is put up, if it's a chain link, then you can still see into the yard. If it's a wooden fence, usually with the slats together, then you can't see into the yard, and there's a reason for that. Maybe somebody just likes the privacy and things along that line. But what it communicates is we have our area and we don't want you in it. But there is a beauty to the fact of having protection and having something set up. And when I think about the whole idea of having protection, it brings me back to a movie, A Few Good Men. And there's a scene where Tom Cruise is confronting the Jack Nicholson character, and he says to him, he says, "You want answers?" And that's Nicholson talking, and his name is Jessup. And then Kathy says, "I want the truth." And then Jessup responds, "You can't handle the truth." And then he goes into a diatribe. Listen to this. "Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you could possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. That Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down, in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide, and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just say thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand at a post. Either way, I don't give a darn what you think you are entitled to. And so this back and forth, and you see ultimately Nicholson saying what he's saying, and it rubs somebody the wrong way if they want control over what he's doing. And we can understand if the guy is out of line. Obviously, a man died in this drama of a movie. But the reality is, there are certain things about having a person up on a wall that keeps us safe, that keeps us at the place that we want. And when I think about what the Lord asks of us, especially as men, we come to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 30. It says this, "And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." And so God is looking, and he's looking around, and he's looking at the quality of man there is. And if a man is willing to step up and go quickly to what is the right thing to do, not what a lot of times men are doing in going quickly for whatever they want to do, and instead do the right thing. Is there a man out there? And so that's my challenge to you as we look at the word wall this week. Are you the person who's willing to stand in the gap, willing to look to protect our women, our children, others, and care about others more than you care about your comfort and what you want? That's the kind of man that God is calling. And he can make you that kind of man through the power of Christ. And so, would you be willing to step up and be that person today? We got a lot of men pursuing a lot of different things, whether it be fame or women or their pleasures or their hobbies. But are you willing to stand up and be the husband that you need to be? To be the father that you need to be? To be what truly God has called us as men to be? It's something good to remember. We are to stand on the wall. Stand in the gap.